You know, sometimes you're in a very bad mood, you're not quite sure why. You know what I'm saying? Something's really, really bothering you. It's actually hard to work in that if you don't know what it is. So, yeah, I don't think, I mean, sometimes we do know what it is. You know, you get really angry with someone. I know right away what it is. I'm angry. But if you're not quite sure what it is, it's good to be, it's good to acknowledge, to understand what it is, and then to work on it appropriately. If it's something toxic, we actually have to work on getting rid of it.
You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back to another JP Show. We're here with Rabbi Levi. We do it at 11:30 in the morning, so make sure he's up by then, because he's now up during the night.
Well, he's up before then, but yeah. It's a little bit of sleep deprivation happening here, so I hope it makes sense.
With his twins. But he's getting used to it, right?
Yeah.
Sort of.
That's right.
Okay. What are we talking about this week?
So I want to talk about, this is more of a general topic, nothing, I mean, it's probably all related because everything's related, but it's what's happening now. But, you know, just a general perspective on life, on ourselves, on other people. So there's a big emphasis today. People talk about this specifically regarding parenting, but the truth is they talk about everything, about validating people's feelings. Someone feels a certain way, someone's going through something, so you have to validate it and sit with them and you know, and sort of accept and acknowledge what that person is going through. And I thought we would discuss, is that a good thing? Is that always a good thing? Is there a time and place to actually challenge someone and say, actually, what you're feeling is not based in reality, and it's time to move on and to grow out of that? Or no, do we always have to, you know, validate and accept people? Which is a very general question.
Yeah, very, very general. So I think you have to break it down a little bit, right? You know, you got to break it down for in different areas, because when you're talking about validating, you're talking about validating someone's emotions, right? So that's a big topic today, emotions and emotional regulation and being in touch with the emotions and so on and so forth. So from a Jewish perspective, I think we have to go back a little bit. From a Jewish perspective, there are different types of emotions, right? There are emotions that are very good emotions, love, love of God, love of each other, and so on. Happiness, enthusiasm for doing good things. There are a lot of good emotions, right? There are also some toxic emotions. I mean, we know that hate, for example, with very few exceptions, hate is a bad thing. Anger is a bad thing, right? And we, all human beings, and we have these feelings sometimes. We get angry or we get jealous. Jealousy, for the most part, is also a toxic emotion. It's not very healthy and leads to dysfunction and bad things. And the question is how you deal with them. So I think the question is, before we talk about validation of other of emotions in other people, let's talk about validating our own emotions, right? So we know that there's good and toxic emotions, but there's also neutral emotions. For example, and it depends on the dose. So, you know, we've talked about this before, but grief, for example, is an emotion. It's not a bad emotion. It's an important emotion. You lose something, something terrible happens, you grieve, right? Grief is an emotion. It's an important emotion until it's not important anymore. I mean, what I mean to say about that is the Torah wants someone to express grief. That's why we have all the laws of mourning in Jewish law. At the same time, the Talmud talks about not mourning excessively. We have like the Shiva period, and then we have this expression, you get up from Shiva. In other words, you move on to the next stage. When it comes to toxic emotions, for example, the idea, the goal from a Jewish perspective is we actually don't accept them. We know that they're there, right? So if I'm angry or if I'm hating, we know that they're there, but we actually work to overcome them, work to get rid of them. Work on not being angry and not being hateful and not being vengeful and so on. Why am I saying that? Because I think the word validate needs to be understood. There's a big difference between validation in the context of accepting, right? or validation about is maybe not being dismissive. In other words, I think it is important to know what, like to be in touch with your emotion. In other words, to know what you're feeling, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you accept it, right? So let's bring that back to parenting, for example, right? Because that's just a clear example. Parenting is when you're talking with a child that is in your care, that you have responsibility of guiding that child with the correct values and so on. So a child is very angry with their sibling, or a child is very, you know. I think today particularly, dismissing it, or let's say a child comes back from school and says, my friend was mean to me, and is very, very upset, right?
Mm.
The first thing I think we need to do is not dismiss. I think dismissing emotions nowadays particularly is bad. So like, you know, kind of hardcore, don't worry about it, it's fine, you know, you be just pull yourself together kind of thing. I don't think that's helpful, because then people feel dismissed, and then feeling dismissed is not a healthy thing today, particularly. But that's very different between saying, oh, look, I understand, and maybe paraphrase, and you know, you give feedback, and I can see you're upset, I can see you're angry, that kind of thing. And then you can work, you know, age appropriately, you work it through. And if it's something really bad and maybe they shouldn't be angry about, you need to work them through. But because it's very different once you accept it, once you notice it, or you acknowledge it at least without being dismissive. The same thing goes with ourselves, actually. You know, sometimes you're in a very bad mood, you're not quite sure why. You know, say something's really, really bothering you. It's actually hard to work in that if you don't know what it is.
Mm.
So, I don't think, I mean, sometimes we do know what it is. You know, you get really angry with someone, I know right away what it is, I'm angry. But if you're not quite sure what it is, it's good to acknowledge, to understand what it is, and then to work on it appropriately. If it's something toxic, we actually have to work on getting rid of it.
Is there never a place to be dismissive? What I mean to say is sometimes even, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example, like a child who gets upset about something. No, it's like this. If a child comes up and says, someone was mean to me, someone hit me, someone's bullying me, there they actually almost are legitimately angry and upset. They just have to, even then, they have to work through it, right? Let's say a child is angry about something which is actually objectively illegitimate. For example, they have to share a toy, let's say, right? So they're upset now that I made them share a toy. Do I have to sit and listen to their disappointment and the fact that they have to share for a half hour and work through it? Or maybe there, dismissing it actually itself is educational. It's almost saying, like, this is not even something you have to even discuss. Or is that not smart?
No, I think even then, I mean, you could say, I can see it's hard for you, but we're going to do it anyway. Like, I once read an article, which I totally disagreed with, of, you know, this is also about recognizing emotions and sitting with it and all that kind of stuff. So the article wrote that, you know, you have a four-year-old and playing with a train or playing with a toy that you gave them, whatever, and they're playing for a long time. And the, you know, two-year-old comes over and wants to have a chance, wants to have a turn at using the toy. And you think it's legitimate, you know, it's nice to share and so on. But the boy doesn't, the four-year-old doesn't want to do it, right? And pulls it away, it's very angry. So the article suggested that, I think the article was sort of promoting this idea of acknowledging feelings, but they went too far. And they said, and the article said that what you do is you go over to the child and you say, you know, sharing is hard. Maybe you can even say, I find it sometimes hard as well. And I can see you don't want to share. And that's okay. You'll just share when you're ready. And that part I thought was absolute nonsense.
Mm.
But I thought it was okay to say, in other words, part of what children need to grow as they grow up is that we all have struggles. We all have emotional problems, and sometimes it's true. Sometimes we don't want to share either. Not our choo-choo train, but we have other things we don't want to share, and we have to work on it, right? So, because sharing and being kind is very important. And so I don't think, in fact, I think it's positive to say, look, I can see it's hard for you, and you can do it firmly without being aggressive. You can say, I think it's hard for you, but you know what? We're going to do it. So, yes, I think you should give your sister 2 minutes with the toy, and then we'll take her back. So I know it's hard to share, and I can see it's hard for you, but we're going to do it anyway.
Right.
I think it's more effective than just dismissing them, because I think that's like, you know, we also find it hard to share. We also find it like, but that doesn't matter. I mean, that's fine. But they should know that even when you find something hard, you can go beyond your limitations and beyond what you always, your instinct, and do it anyways, because that's part of growing up. It's part of And you know, it's tolerance for being uncomfortable. I think that's one of the big things we don't do very well today. People don't tolerate being uncomfortable. And that's why, you know, it's when I'm ready and when I'm comfortable and when it makes sense to me and all that kind of stuff. And that's very bad because we have to go beyond ourselves. And that's why the same thing is with ourselves. I think if we don't want to do something or we find something very difficult, but we know the back of our mind that it's right, we have to do the same thing. We have to tell the, you know, to use a modern terminology, we have to tell the child within us, I hear you, it's hard for you, but we're going to do it anyways.
Right. Is there ever, I mean, there is, the question is when and when is supply, like moments where actually we should just validate and not provide quote unquote solutions or a way out. I mean, the obvious example that comes to mind is when you're visiting someone who's sitting Shiva, for example. Is that the time and place to start saying, you know, I understand you. You know, some people, you know, you said grief is a good is a more neutral emotion, right? But usually when people are grieving, it also brings up other emotions. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's disappointment, it's frustration, whatever it is. Is it the time and place to go and say, you know, anger is not really such a good thing, maybe you should try to work on it, or probably not, right? Then it's probably just...
No, definitely not.
Right. I hear you, and that's it.
So it's actually not just grief, even toxic emotions. The truth is that even with toxic emotions, if we just wind back a minute, let's say even a child or anyone is very angry, there's a passage in Pirkei Avot, the Ethics of the Fathers, where it says, do not try and calm someone down when they're angry. So this timing is very, very important. In other words, when we say that you validate, but you can still challenge, first of all, it depends who's challenging. It depends how close you are with the person. You know, it's got to be the right person at the right time, right? So I think the general principle is we challenge ourselves, and sometimes we even challenge those that are close to us to grow and to go beyond their comfort zone, but not everyone can do that. And I think grief is a particular example where, you know, the purpose of comforting a mourner is to comfort a mourner. And sometimes listening is just the greatest strength you can give. Listening, acknowledging. And if there's something that, you know, you believe you can help with, and you can challenge the person with and try to get them to a better space. If it's your role and your place, then you do it at the right time and you can move them along, but only at the right time.
Yeah. Here's another interesting example, more when it comes to not so much a parent or, you know, visiting someone else. How about like in a marriage, in a relationship where someone complains about something and doesn't actually, in other words, it's not about, it's more like they just want you to hear them. Like, you know, I don't feel like you care about me. I don't feel like you, because of this and this and this. And you can sit there and start answering why it's actually not really the case and it's actually not true. And is that what's needed at that point? Or is just the point, you know what, actually, I'm going to just validate you and say, I understand that's how you feel. You're probably right.
I mean, marriage is a whole different set of rules, you know, like... That's, I mean, funny. I talk about the feminine and the masculine and, you know, solution versus just listening and validating, all the kind of stuff. And I think, you know, people have to have common sense. Like, but I think even when there's a place for giving your perspective, like, for example, let's say someone's, don't care about me, I'm very angry, I'm very upset. Even if there's a place to work it through and maybe that's your perspective, but I just want to tell you I have a different perspective, I don't think that's the time for it. Just generally speaking, as a rule, I think when people are very emotional, which is what emotions is, communicating something rational is silly. It's the person's heart speaking and you talking to the brain.
Right.
Right. And that's true with lots of things, right? It's true, like, for example, I mean, another completely different example of this is like, I mean, I know as a rabbi, we have this a lot of times, people say, why? Why did this happen, right? So besides the point that we don't know the answer, and therefore it's useless trying to explain. It's particularly useless trying to explain. I mean, you can give an academic lecture of why bad things happen to good people and so on, but it's certainly not the place where someone's going through a challenge to answer the question why, because they're asking that question from the heart, and you're talking to the brain. And the same thing is just general relationships. If someone's upset about something, they're expressing the heart, they're not expressing their mind. I mean, there might be a time where everything's calmed down, and you say, you know, let's... Communication is, let's talk. Let's talk about why you're upset. And, you know, you have to listen, you have to understand the perspective, and then there's effective communication and saying, you know, I apologize, but I just looked at it from a different perspective, you know? And there might be a place for that. But I don't think the place is when everyone's upset.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. How about, like, this is more of, I guess, a spiritual question, but the truth is it can be applied in any situation. When, like, challenges are coming your way, not necessarily anything devastating, like someone's died, God forbid, or it's just sort of regular life challenges, and it's bogging you down. You know, this is more in relation to yourself, not so much someone else. Like, do you allow yourself a day off? Do you allow yourself just to, you know, it's a podcast, you know, this is something which probably people know about, so let's get personal for a second, right? We're currently going through a challenge at Bina. You know, thank God we're functioning, and we're more than functioning. We're booming, and people coming to learn of all ages, and it's all happening here. Nevertheless, I don't think it's a secret. We have a council issue and a neighbor who's not exactly our friend, who's making it challenging for us, to put it mildly. And it's definitely a challenge, you know? I'm not going to lie. It's not easy. I think we're still doing a good job and doing what Bina does, but nevertheless, it is a challenge. When do you say, like, you know, it's okay for you to be upset and to sulk and to just, you know, let sort of validate why you're not writing this well or whatever?
That's an interesting question. So, which we're both going through. So I think there's two parts to this question, right? There's developing a mindset of what is the ideal to be able to aspire to. Mm. And then there's understanding that we're human beings. So, you know what I'm saying? Right. So the ideal is, and this is something that we both know from the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that when a challenge happens, I mean, we're human beings, obviously we feel uncomfortable, but it's actually, we look at it as a call to action. And yeah, we shouldn't sulk and we shouldn't get bogged down with our emotions. We should say, no, this is, we don't understand why this is happening, but it's hashkacha pratit, it's divinely ordained. It's a test, and a test you got to fight and overcome, become stronger, do more at Bina, not less, and then just keep going and really believe that it's going to sort itself out. And, you know, we do what we need to do, and we've done what we need to do, and we're looking forward to some good news and a favorable response. But that's what really should happen. Has it been happening all the time? No. Because we are human and we have our failings. So I think the validation here more is about the past, not about the future. In other words, if we really got bogged down one day, which we have had a couple of days like that, or maybe more than a couple, and we were a bit under functioning, so we say, you know what, we're human beings, that's what we did and that's fine. But tomorrow, we're not going to do that because we're going to try and aspire to connect to what we really should be doing and understand it's all a test from Hashem. We're going to keep going, and we're going to keep going with simcha, with joy, with strength, working within the parameters, working within the limitations that we have now, looking forward to an expansion of those restrictions, and full force ahead.
Sounds good. No, that's true. I think it's true about the past. You know, we say every day in davening, actually, whenever we say the Tachnun prayer, we say, Ki hu yoda yitzreinu. You say that Hashem knows. We even acknowledge that God knows that we have a yetzer hara, that we have an evil inclination. Like, even he sort of, I don't know if the word is validate, but sort of say, you know, I understand that you struggle and that you fail, and that's why I set up a system of tshuva. Now, that's not a cop-out. That's actually very demanding. That's saying, and now get up and fix it. But nevertheless, it's not like, you know, he pushes you away because you failed once. It's not like, you know.
Correct. Correct.
Sounds good. All right.
Okay. Hopefully very soon at the next podcast, we'll have what to report back. Good news, let's say.
That's right.
That's all. Okay. Thank you for listening. See you next week.